Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. We're going to talk from James 2, and we're going to look at verse 1. My brothers, do not with partiality have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And he goes on to say, For if someone who is rich comes in with lots of jewelry and fancy clothing, and they come into your synagogue or your church, and then one comes in with shabby clothes, and if you look at the one wearing the splendid clothing, the fancy clothes, and you say, hey, sit here comfortably, up here near the front, come sit near the front of the church. But to the poor one, you say, you stand over there, you sit in the back, you sit there at the footstool. It says, did you not make a difference among yourselves and become the judge with evil thoughts? And so I just wanted to say, we need to deal with judging individually in our hearts. Judging is when you just, it's so natural since the fall of mankind to judge pretty much everything. It's, with our reasoning, we're thinking, oh, that person must be poor. That person wouldn't be able to help. That person, oh, they look like somebody I'd like to get to know. And we just constantly make these judgments. And the only way to get free from judging is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And even as I'm speaking, God's convicting me of how much we need to be Spirit-led. Spirit-led. He knows everything about everyone. He knows everything that we're supposed to do. He knows everything about the angels surrounding people. He knows everything about what's going on in the spirit realm. And really what the Lord wants from us is that we just yield ourselves to his Holy Spirit. And then we would have powerful ministries. We would be so led in bringing up our children, so led in our marriages, so led in any kind of employment we have or any businesses we run, and or politics, anything. And really, wake up church in America. And this goes all over the place, but wake up, because we need to start being Spirit-led. That's why Friday nights are called Spirit-led Fridays. So he goes on here, and he's just dealing with an issue that we've saw back, 2,000 years ago when James wrote this. And just think how much this issue is still everywhere. Everywhere we look at everything based on, how much money do they make? What is their job? What do they do? We have this elitist mentality, this who's better than someone else, who's superior, who's inferior. And God's saying, this has to stop in the church. He says, when you judge and you make difference between people, that you're making these judgments, the Lord says you have evil thoughts. So the kind of reasoning behind judgment according to God is evil. And it's in your thoughts. He's not saying you're saying these things out loud. Amen. This, everybody in here is like, oh, this is almost like a Tuesday night. This is almost like a Tuesday night. God's trying to change our hearts. God's always changing our hearts. Amen. If you want to know what apostolic teaching looks like, read the letters the true apostles wrote. And you will see that God wants to bring us back to apostolic teaching. God's teaching should convict us of sin and should cause us to cry out for God to change our hearts, to get the evil out of our hearts, so that we can fully yield to his Spirit and be led by him and be different than the world. And so, when you see these things like, Lord, I know I judge a lot and help me. Basically, what you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, forgive me. I hate that I make judgments among people. I know that's why I'm being judged. The enemy's allowed to then have people judge me. And I just want to be out of that. I want to just think holy thoughts. I want to think pure thoughts. I want to see people the way you intend for them to finish their race. And Lord, help me with that. He goes on to say, hear my beloved brothers, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Wait a minute, look at this. God knew that those who would be born in situations where they financially would be poor, financially they would not be able to necessarily have food and clothing and cars and the education and housing and all these things, no matter what culture they're living in, to make it outside of faith. They were going to find God in the midst of these situations where they would need help. And so the Word of God says, look, brothers, look, sisters in the Lord, look, those of you who are being mentored to minister, and you're supposed to look like, who's going to come alongside me in this ministry? Who's going to help me do the work of God? Who's going to help me go to the harvest field? Who's going to help with children's church if you have a church? Who's going to help with, the men's ministry here, Beauty Freshes? Who's going to help with all these things? And it says, don't leave the poor out in your thinking about this. Those who have financially been struggling are those that God has chosen to be rich in faith. Rich in faith. They're going to need faith for everyday existence. They're going to need their faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting in God, trusting in His promises, trusting in His faithfulness. Faith is, giving and sowing and in that knowing you're going to reap. And so faith is really powerful. It's the very substance of the things people hope for and yet is not real in their lives yet. So if you have to hope for the groceries showing up, then you're going to be stretching your faith and using your faith every single day. And he goes on to say, the poor of this world, they're going to be rich in faith, and they will be heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those loving him, which means that those who are poor, if they turn to God, if they decide, I've got to trust God, I've got to believe in God, Jesus Christ, please let the word be true. Holy Spirit, lead me, show me what to do, show me how to pay the bills, show me how to do this. And in the world's thinking, and let's face it, in ministers thinking and church thinking, and God's had to convict me in this, we look at people and we think, oh, are they going to be able to tithe much, or do they even have a job, or how are they going to be able to help? And God's like, and he's saying right here in James, would you stop thinking like that? Don't think like that. That's evil. That's evil thoughts. It's judgmental thoughts. And you know, when God's telling me something's evil, I need to take that serious. Amen. And I need to ask Holy Spirit, get that out of my thinking. And then he goes on to show you, according to how God set things up, that those who are poor, those who maybe don't have a job yet or can't work for one, they're going to be rich in faith. Now, we've been talking about this a little bit at our Sunday services and some Tuesday nights, but think about it. The resource in the kingdom is faith, not money. And the reason there's so much problems in the Western church is because we still look to money to determine what we're going to do and when we're going to do it and who we're going to hire and what projects we're going to take on. Therefore, we're really serving the mammon. We're serving the god of money, the god of this world, which we all know is the enemy, instead of really yielding and giving ourselves to our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, led by Holy Spirit, which is going to be based on faith. I trust God. I believe God. He told me to do this. I'm going to do this. And I want to encourage those listening. I want to encourage those here. If you know that you have a heart to go to the mission field, you need to step out in faith. Sign up and trust that he's going to bring the finances. Quit trying to figure it out based on income and ask Holy Spirit how to do it. Well, I can't get off work. You'd be surprised how God can get you off work. You will be surprised. That's the faith walk. You know, we need to recognize the things we've gone through that have stretched our faith. Here at Beauty Freshes, we're a small church, and I remember when I bought this building that's totally paid for now. Yay, hurrah. And at the time it was, I don't even remember, it was over $500,000, and then we had to put another almost a couple hundred thousand more into renovations and things the city made us do. And I don't know what was in the checking account, but I'm promising you it wasn't over a couple hundred dollars. And I had to sign the papers in faith, and it really, really shook me up after I walked in and did that. Plus, this place was in really bad shape, which really shook up the rest of the board who was with me when we looked at the building. They're like, what is she doing? Those visionary people, they're like, oh, and then the others are like, oh, what are we doing? But God stretched our faith. I mean, we really had to believe. And I won't even tell you all the things that happened. I mean, the city said we couldn't have the building. So then we turned it into for a church. So we turned it to a thrift store for a season. And part of it stayed a thrift store for a while, which God used as a powerful ministry. And it was really awesome. And who knows what he might do in the future. And so I just want you to know, God wants us to step out in faith. He's asking me these days, well, what do you want to do next? So I just told him, this afternoon. I said, well, Lord, I am ready to get Phelps. He is our really apostle in training in India. He's just about to get out of medical school, which if he was in the States, that would bring in a good income. But in India, in the poor, poor region he lives, it still doesn't promise almost any income. But I tell Lord, I'm believing for the finances to come for Phelps as soon as he gets through this internship to be able to go and do what Nilo is doing in the Philippines and what I believe Pastor Fred's going to be doing in Uganda, Lord. And I'm believing that you're going to give me the finances, the resources and the finances to make it so he can travel India, so he can network with other pastors and leaders there, and he can do apostolic training. Whoa. And Lord, I would like to take care of some more orphanages. If there are some orphanages connected with powerful ministries that are open to the full gospel and open to growing their faith, then Lord, I want to be a part of that. And everybody here, how many want to say amen to that? Woohoo, yay. So it's like, God, okay, so we're good believing for that. So he gets out of his internship coming up somewhere in the next year. And I'm believing by then there will be finances coming in to give to him so that he can reach his nation with apostolic teaching. Isn't that cool? And I'm believing for that. I'm personally not going to waste my faith on fancy buildings and fancy cars. And if somebody wants to, that's between them and God. And maybe they need that to draw the people in who are rich, who are really hard to reach for the kingdom. Amen. But I want to just use my faith to believe for big things for the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you, if you're watching this and you're being mentored by Beauty for Ashes, or you're looking for a church with real faith, that's not just everything about money, money, money for you, but really about what does God have for your life and what can you stretch your faith to do? And I want everybody to see this. I want you to see, you know, if you need faith for healing, then recognize that faith is the resource of heaven. Faith is the resource of heaven. Faith is the resource of heaven, not money to go to doctors and fancy hospitals. Praise God that God, thank God he uses doctors and fancy hospitals. And sometimes he'll take you on that journey, especially as you're learning to walk in faith and live out your faith, or sometimes to humble you because you judged people who had to go through the medical thing. And there's a lot of different spiritual laws involved in all that. But we got to recognize that God wants us to begin to speak faith and speak life and really look at everything in our life. And I believe as God's about to shake everything that can be shaken, you're going to get very frustrated and very fed up with things you've put up with up until now. Because God is ready to show off. God is ready to show off through his people. And he's been stirring me with to think back on the things I've walked through and the things I've seen and where I've had to really see my faith stretch. And I thank God for stretching my faith. That's why you count it all joy, which is in, I think, James 1. Count it all joy, your various trials. Count them joy because God is working patience in you and he wants you to be complete and lack nothing. And he means in the spirit realm. He knows this is what's going to help you get to faith. And I think many of us use our faith to get by, and then once we're okay there, then we don't use it for anything. And then it just sits there dormant because we can handle things now. Oh, you don't want another trial that you can't handle to help stretch your faith. I mean, you may get one, but wouldn't it be awesome if we could continue to believe and stretch and grow in faith, doing things for the kingdom, like going on the mission field or starting a ministry or being part of a ministry that God's called us to and believing God to give us the faith to go and do the things that need to be done and the time and the way to make things happen. And so we need to stretch our understanding of what faith is. Faith is the resource of heaven. Faith is the resource of heaven. Faith is going to give you the time you need, however God chooses to do that. Faith is going to give you the money you need, however God chooses to do that. We need to start to see that God is going to do what needs to be done, and he's going to stretch our faith. Amen? He's going to increase it. And he's talking about here, look, quit counting the poor out, that they're not going to be helping your ministry. They're not going to be able to do much. God's like, are you kidding? They're going to be the ones who had to live by faith this far, many of them. And what if they take that faith and now they apply that faith to the things of the kingdom, what they apply that faith to winning a neighborhood, of ministering to a certain people group or age group, or, you know, and just begin to really stretch that faith. And God wants us to see that. He wants us to begin to live out this faith that is the resource of heaven. He goes on and he says, and then you're going to be an heir to the kingdom, which he promised to everyone loving him. So if we love him, we obey him. That's what the word says. So everyone who loves him and obeys him, he is giving us to be heirs of his entire kingdom. Everything, if you go back and look at the story of Esther, and you see that when she came to ask the king for something to save her people and to save herself, and he said, I'll give you anything, Esther, up to half my kingdom. And if you realize, God put that true story in there, it really happened, but he's also teaching us, look, I want to give you my kingdom. I want you to be part of my kingdom. I want you ruling and reigning with me. Ask me anything if you love me. Ask for anything if you love me. He goes on. Ooh, he's going to get us. He says, but you dishonor the poor one. When you have these judgments, like, well, I don't want this place filled with people who don't have jobs and people who barely get by and people who do this and that, and or you put your ministry in a fancy part of town because you're thinking, well, here, you know, the homeless aren't going to come in here and the people who don't have much aren't going to come in here, and you go out of your way to avoid, you know, ministering to them, some of you. And the Lord's like, no, you don't understand. When you do that, you are dishonoring people made in the image and likeness of God. And I've got to say, you know, I look around some of the churches in our area, and it's amazed a few churches, one that actually God keeps blessing and blessing. No matter what everybody else is going through, this church seems to hang in there. I'm not going to say what church it is, but I saw the other day they actually have a small buses that pick up people from the poor parts of the neighborhoods to bring them on Sunday morning. And so they're not trying to dishonor the poor. They're not trying to count them out. They're trying to make a way to bring their children to a church that's in a different part of town. They're trying to make a way that everyone can go to church. And so so are we being convicted or what? Okay, Lord, help me. All right, he goes on to say, do not the rich ones oppress you and drag you to the judgment seats or to court? Do they not blaspheme the good name called on you? If you truly fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have partiality, your work is sin, being reproved by the law as a transgressor. So, this is really serious business with the Lord. And he's really been convicting me good. So, I look at some of the examples of wealthy people and people who've been blessed and blessed. And I'm not going to get in particulars, but wow, I was around someone who walks in a lot of wealth according to them, and they've been really blessed and they love God and serve God. But every time they turn around, they want to sue somebody. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I heard the mention of lawsuit at least three times in just spending a few days with this person. And I'm thinking, wow, it's like an automatic thing. How to get money is to sue somebody, oppress somebody, come against somebody. And that's not only the wealthy anymore. Our culture tries to have lawyers who run after people who try to bring them into this whole thing. So the lawyer makes all the money and tries to sue everybody. And the Lord's like, we need to stop this oppressing each other. We need to stop this attacking each other and looking for ways to make money off of other people's issues. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, it's true. And I think of a situation years ago with Beauty for Ashes, that there was this person who was pretty wealthy, according to them, a millionaire, and very educated. I won't say a lot. But oh my goodness, when something didn't go the way they wanted, oh my goodness, they were calling everybody trying to get my license, and they were going to sue me, and they threatened to put up a billboard talking about this ministry and all these things. And I really had to be led by God in how to handle it and what to do. And it was like a 5 or 6 month trial. And then recently too, you know, some things happened, somebody wanting to sue the church for something that was completely you know, we didn't do anything wrong, and then trying to compromise and getting us to compromise. And, you know, I just kept waiting on the Lord and hearing the Lord. And all of a sudden I've really have awakened to this revelation that's here in James 2, that, yeah, rich people just want to oppress you, and a lot of them, and go after your money, and they're not really trying to serve God or even see what's right or fair. They're look at our politics, people. Our politics are more about who has the most money. People get in a panic because somebody who's completely anti-Christ pours tons of money into an election, and unfortunately, it seems to have an impact. And that's because the church won't wake up and be led by faith. And we also recognize the rich try to oppress the poor, even the poor believers, so that they're dependent on man and not on their faith. And so God wants to turn a lot of things around. I just pray, Lord, show us how to do this. Show us what we're doing. And so, you know, Beauty for Ashes, I know we've been called to help those who have felt like victims, who felt oppressed, who have been oppressed, who've been under really hard living conditions, and to help them to get their eyes off of man and money, and even really political parties that promise them they'll take care of them, but at the same time they murder babies, which puts our nation under curse, which keeps Baal as their god, whether they know that or not, and Moloch as their god. It's horrible. And then there's all the way to the point of cursing the nations, because the Bible says anyone who agrees with the sin of homosexuality brings a curse not only on the people participating, but anyone who agrees with it. So there we go. Let's put another curse on our nation. And I'm not coming against people. I want to help people get free from bondage and really live powerful, wonderful lives as God intended. And so this isn't about bashing anybody. This is about loving people into freedom, into wholeness in Christ. But when you stop and look at what the enemy has done, because we don't seriously understand that those who are poor, instead of being manipulated and controlled by political parties and manipulated and controlled by those who have money and can lord it over them, they are to get the revelation that God has made you to be heirs of the kingdom of God. He's made you to be rich in the things of God. He's made you to be rich in faith. And if we can begin to get that revelation, I think of Heidi Baker's ministries, where she told her and her husband Roland said, Lord, take us to the most poor place on the planet, just an evil place, that if we don't have faith, nothing works. And boy, did they go through some trials and tribulations. But they have a powerful ministry with over, I don't know, thousands and thousands of churches that they're connected with in Africa, in Mozambique, and in Pemba, Africa. And they see people raised from the dead. They see the blind open. They see the children and the people there who are poor when it comes to worldly possessions. But yet they're rich, rich, rich in faith. They're rich to believe for healing. They're rich in prayer. And you can really sit back and look at what God has given them a heart to do, but you can actually see the results of living out this truth that we see here in James 2. So if you're asking God, what ministry shall I have, Lord? Where should I go? What should I do? Keep in mind that God is always has a heart for the poor, that he wants those that he's purposely has pointed out that these should be rich in faith and these should be heirs to the kingdom. He also says that it's, even though it seems impossible for a rich person to get saved, that nothing's impossible for God. So yes, there's ministries to the rich. We're seeing some things now with celebrities, Justin Bieber, Kanye, what's his last name? Kanye West, sorry people. I don't know what any of these people are. And even President Trump are very wealthy, wealthy people that God is putting his hand on his finger. We need to hold them up and pray for them. Come on, every baby believer, you know, it's hard to be a believer anyway in this fallen world. And now you're looking at people who are turning against the very gods that they've served for money and influence and all this. And now they're really giving their hearts over to God. And we don't need, as the church, to be trying to throw stones at him and judging him. We need to be praying and seeing what God's doing and waking up from our hypocrisy ourselves. Amen. Preach it, Cindy. Okay. Anyway, we need to get to a place to recognize, as you're going into ministry, as you're looking for where to minister, go into the prisons, you know, go to the nursing homes, go to, you know, really find how you can help children whose parents work and they're after school. They really need a safe place to go or a ministry. There's so much ministry that's out there. Get your eyes off of platform ministry that's more like celebrity ministry that honestly is going to tempt you to honor the wealthy people. It's going to tempt you to become like them. It's going to tempt you to basically sell your soul for popularity, and you want to really, really let the Lord do a work in your heart to be able to handle. If He gives you that kind of influence or a platform kind of ministry, you've got to really be sanctified and holy and walking with Him, not to sell out to that. So, you know, as we're doing this mentorship, we want you to really see, you want God to bring the character of Christ in your life, and you want to pass these tests that you're going to walk through, these trials, to be made perfect and lacking nothing. If I'm made perfect, in James 1 it says, and I lack nothing because I've endured and I've patiently walked through things and I've trusted God and I'm adding to my faith, then the Lord will be able to give me a greater influence, and He'll be able to even use some of us to go to the wealthy people, to go to people like President Trump, to go to people like these celebrities, and really be a light in these politicians. But boy, I tell you, the temptation to take advantage of these people, the temptation is just great. I was listening to a teaching by Sadhu today that just came out, a prophecy, and he said that we need to really pray that some of the wrong spiritual people are gathering around President Trump, and they really want to use him for their agendas and use him instead of being around him to give godly correction at times and godly wisdom, and to really pray and intercede. And that he called the church to begin to really cry out and pray for this leader and for other leaders. And so I just pray, you know, that we would just really wake up and start doing powerful intercession and really get our hearts right. And so we're going to get ready to end this mentorship part of tonight's meeting, because we're going to get ready to go and pray some of these things we just talked about and enter into some of these things that we did. So if that interests you and you live in the Newport News, Virginia area, you know, I mean, we have people that come all the way from Richmond, we have people that come from Southside and all over to be a part of what God's doing at Beauty for Ashes, but then we're going to do prophetic intercession. That's what we're going to be doing next tonight, and maybe watching a couple videos the Lord put on my heart to help us to really grow and mature, and even to fine-tune what we're going to be praying for. It's time to grow up. It's time to quit spending all your time watching television and you know, doing great fun things. They're wonderful. God loves us to enjoy our lives. I think one of the greatest ways we testify of how good He is to enjoy our lives. And I'm a person who loves my life, and I enjoy my life, and that was not what Satan had for me. At the same time, it really should be boring you if your whole life looks like just somebody who has a nice life, and instead of someone who isn't sold out for Jesus Christ and wanting to be part of the laborers to bring in the harvest. And so I encourage you, let the Lord just move in you. Let Him show you what your ministry is. Everyone's called to a ministry of reconciliation. That means to reconcile somebody with Christ. It could be your neighborhood. It could be your family. It could be a certain place He's sending you. It could be the mission field. But you need to begin to say, how much reconciliation have I done this year? How much have I actually spent in time ministering this year? And you need to stop and really look at it and say, Lord, help me. Help me to flow in Your Spirit and yield to Your will. And He'll take care of everything, people. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will add everything. He will take care of all those things that you've been concerned about and worrying about. And then you'll enter into this place of powerful faith where you'll recognize that you've inherited the kingdom, and you're an heir of the things of God. God bless you guys. Beauty for Ashes, you can check us out on web at beautyforashes.org. And I encourage you to go there under partnership, partner with us. There's a little link at the top. Hit that link and then go under mentorship or partnership. We have two plans, one for international, and then we have one for those in the United States. So please join us and become a part of that. We have retreats. We have special conferences. The Lord is just gearing us up to really jump into all that He has for us. This is the season of God really growing this ministry. And I say that seriously. We went from, you know, we went through a shaking for a couple of years. So we recognize the shaking that's coming to the church. We are forerunners, and we survived it beautifully. Thank you, Jesus. And we've learned to trust Him. And I don't know how He does it, but He's paid all the bills. We didn't back down on anything that we've been doing. We've just increased. And talk about God teaching you to really walk this walk. And so as we're talking to those leaders and those who are starting ministries and those who want to step out, people, you have to step out in faith. You have to step out. Go read the book of Hebrews. We have to step out in faith. In other words, you can't see how it's going to ever happen. You can't see how it could happily happen? And the Lord's like, well, just trust me. And so then you step out in faith and you do the impossible, because that's where God steps in and takes over. And so I just want to encourage you, don't live your life afraid to step out in faith. Just start stepping out in faith. God will even bless you when you step out in things he didn't call you to, just because he knows you're his kid and you're trying to please him. But if you never do anything that takes a risk, if you never do anything that takes beyond your own means, you're not walking in the kingdom. You're not walking in the things of God. And you're missing what you were actually born to enter into, and you were certainly born again to enter into. So I want to encourage you, do something this week before we meet again at this time next Friday. Do something. Just do something that needs faith, okay? Do something that needs faith and begin to watch God bring increase. God bless you guys, and we hope to see you next week. Check out all of our pages. We have Cindy Foster, Dash Beauty Frashes Ministries, and we have the church, Beauty Frashes Church, which is what most of you are watching this on. And then we have, if you join the mentorship, Cindy Foster, Beauty Frashes Mentoring. And there's a page for that for those who sign up for a mentorship. God bless you guys, and hope we get to see you soon. Come on and join us here, Beauty Frashes. We'd love to have you come. If you come on Sunday, come up and say, hey, I've been watching you on Facebook, and I'd love to be a part of Beauty Frashes. We'd love for you to come and join us. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.